The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avra Lewis from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as TRRS. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence and Ebony magazines. Our first article is from the Lifestyle section, talking about Carnival. We're going to be continuing from last week's article about Carnival, entitled "Behind the Fete." Playa Moth. During Pretty Moth, the vibrant colors and beauty of Carnival are all full display. Masqueraders, as they are often referred to, wait a full year for this two-day climactic experience, which at its core is a celebration of freedom. Playing a moth is essentially your zone, the space to be your most vulnerable, sexy, beautiful self. This is a time when women in particular shine. People admire all sizes and shapes in costumes that are made to accentuate, not hide, a woman's natural curves. The elaborate designs are sketched many months in advance and are usually launched at events that are full-fledged parties in themselves. The Freedom Moss is empowering. Masqueraders cross the stage or dance and show out for the crowd at one of the many judging points along the route. You can choose to take a wine or get on bad because in Caribbean culture, whining isn't seen as an act of disrespect, but as a sultry expression of confidence. I asked Trinidadian costume designer and Project Runway star Anu A. Young Chi about her creative process for Moss. When designing, I consider the movement and angles that make women feel beautiful, she says. I design clothes to be sensual in a non-obvious way, and so I attempt to do the same for Carnival with the added exuberance that costuming requires. Each year, one of the things I look forward to most during Pretty Moss is passing out pieces of my costumes to onlookers in the crowd. I seek out little brown girls along the roadside and hand them small pieces of jewelry or colorful feathers plucked from my collared wings, giving them a taste of playing a moth, if only for a moment. Jump and wave. There is no denying that Carnival scene has caught fire. You can't browse the gram without seeing a new moth fan launch or hearing a new soca song buzzing. Tourists from around the world flock to the Caribbean and other locales across the diaspora by the millions to get a taste of the sweet action and take a jump for themselves. This soul-shaking experience will alter your beliefs about what living out loud truly means and give you an enlightened perspective on what so many fought for there. This soul-shaking experience will alter your beliefs about what living out loud truly means and give you an enlightened perspective on what so many fought for in their march toward freedom. And oh, what a feeling it is to love and embrace Carnival culture, to allow the spirit to grab hold of your soul and let it love you back. As you finalize your travel plans for 2019, switch things up a bit and pick a festival of your choice to experience. Big or small, there's one for you because Carnival truly lives in us all. Fetting all over the world, from the perfect summer pump-up at Carabana in Toronto, to an epic fusion of cultures and the sounds at London's Notting Hill Carnival, trust that there's a fete with your name on it. Crop over May 4th to August 5th, Bridgetown, Barbados. St. John Carnival, June 8th to July 7th, St. John. Vincent Moth, June 28th to July 9th, Vincent and the Grenadines. Let's see here. I'm just going to go ahead and read the list, even though some of these dates have passed on. There are still some more current ones. St. Lucia Carnival, July 12th to July 16th, St. Lucia. Antigua Carnival, July 26th to August 6th, St. John's. Caribana, August 1st to August 4th, Toronto. Spice Moss, August 12th to August 13th, Grenada. Notting Hill Carnival, August 24th to August 26th in London. West Indian American Day Carnival and Parade, September 2nd in Brooklyn. Miami Broward Carnival, October 13th, Miami. Virgin Islands Carnival, January 2020, St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. Brazil Carnival, February 21st to 26, 2020, Rio de Janeiro. February 21st to March 5th, 2020, Bahia. Trinidad Carnival, February 24th to February 25th, 2020, Trinidad and Tobago. Haiti Carnival, generally the weekend before Lent, Port-au-Prince. Jamaica Carnival, April 14th to April 19th, 2020, Kingston. St. Martin, April 16th to May 3rd, 2020, Martin. Batabano, Batabano, April 25th to May 16th, 2020, Cayman Islands. Moving on to the next article in lifestyle section, talking about decor. The name of the article, At Home with BLK, MKT Vintage. Two former adjunct professors collect and sell priceless objects that celebrate the Black experience across the African diaspora. Kiana Stewart and Jaina Handy's 19th century Victorian style home is unapologetically Black. From the moment you walk into the couple's New Jersey digs, Black cultural ephemera, Black memorabilia, Black artifacts, and beautiful brown faces gracing the covers of vintage Black magazines confirm that you are in a familiar space, an experience that has been intentionally outfitted to honor us. The aesthetic is rooted in affirmation, which is the linchpin that guides our design decisions, says Handy, who co-founded BLK MKT Vintage with Stewart in 2014. The online shop carries pieces similar to those featured throughout their cozy crib. The couple also offers other design services, including interior consultations, staging, and rentals. In the foyer, a Chiquita banana crate from the 1940s is modernized with metal hairpin legs and serves as stylish shoe storage. Just above that is their sentimental places wall, where a 1937 Martha's Vineyard Nantucket steamboat travel schedule poster hangs alongside a 1900s Almanac street grid of the Prospect Leffert Gardens, Brooklyn neighborhood where both Handy and Stewart were born and raised. Across from the crate is the original street sign for the MLK Recreation Center in Indiana, which once directed visitors to the entrance of the complex. And that's just the entryway. The triumphant narrative of the Black experience is dotted in every crevice of Stewart and Handy's home. Each of us has a responsibility to honor Black heritage in our own way, reflects Stewart. Ours is through decor, thoughtful curation, and making the vintage and historical relevant. All right. We will go to the next article, and the title is called Still Becoming. Our forever FLOTUS, Michelle Obama, has always illuminated how we see ourselves. On the eve of her first Essence Festival appearance, she reflects on how the magazine has been a beacon for her present and future self. When I think about Essence, a recent moment comes to mind. This spring, as I was talking with a group of young women at Spelman College, one of them asked me how I dealt with the feeling of invisibility. She was beautiful and poised and an honor student at a distinguished university, and yet she didn't feel seen. Her question dredged up the feelings I had experienced when I was her age, the feelings many of my friends feel even today as 50-somethings. To me, Essence is an antidote to that feeling. This magazine shows off every part of us as Black women, our intelligence, our beauty, our style, our power, holding us up for all the world to see. My favorite covers are the mother-daughter ones because they celebrate all of us. I've always loved the ageless beauty issues. Seeing an older Black woman looking so poised and graceful, that's always made me feel good. Essence recognizes us as mothers, as professionals, as partners in relationships, teaching us to embrace our hips and our hair and our sass. And the importance of that constant message, the comfort of that self-affirming hug, just can't be understated. Essence has always made sure that there was at least one beautiful Black woman staring back at us, cheering us on. And that's not just an important reinforcement for us as Black women, it's a vital reminder to everyone else that we're here, we matter, and we have so much to offer. Essence has always made sure there was at least one beautiful woman staring back at us. We all know the impact of Black women in our communities because Black women have always been leaders. There's something we can easily recognize, but unfortunately, the rest of the country doesn't always see. For generations, we've kept things humming in our families, our offices, and our hometowns. If it weren't for Black women, well, God help us all, right? Our experiences as people who've been ignored or shushed or forgotten altogether gives us a perspective that for too long has been unrepresented in positions of power. Our lives have made us better listeners and better connected with what's really happening on the ground. When we use our platforms to share the truth, we claim our pain alongside our power. We can lead people to a fuller understanding of the world, and we can show Black girls that it's okay to do the same, that being vulnerable and honest means we're being strong, not weak. That's how we'll not only lead for today, but we'll also pull up the next generation of leaders. When I'm asked about how my life is perfect, the question makes me laugh a little because I never look at my life and see perfection. In fact, I hope I never do. Don't get me wrong, I've worked hard and I am extraordinarily blessed. But I screw up and make mistakes and am still striving to be better every day. So I try to be honest with myself, to embrace my imperfections and hopefully reflect a little bit of that understanding out to everyone else. I believe deeply in sharing authentically what I've been, what I've struggled with and who I am. Plus, it makes everything a little easier when you don't take yourself too seriously. Still, it's important that as Black women, we practice self-care. I'm big on diet, exercise, and plenty of sleep. I find that those things really do matter because our bodies are linked to our spirits, and in turn, our spirits are connected to one another. For me, another part of self-care is staying close to my friends and family. My girlfriends keep me grounded and feeling positive about myself. An article from Ebony.com, How Dieting and Financial Freedom Have More in Common Than You Think. I have been trying to lose these last 10 pounds and transition to 50% veganism for the longest time. I stick with my nutrition and health regimen for a little while, but as soon as I feel lazy or feel like cheating, I succumb and retreat to my old habits, even though it represents the complete antithesis of where I want to be in terms of my relationship with living and clean eating. Between my failed attempts to make a change, I think I started to believe I was just not built with that discipline or dedication. The same belief may hold true for those of us trying to curb our spending, live a debt-free life, and wisely invest in the future, but fall prey to the temptation to splurge, binge, and overspend. Some of us may rationalize our spending with the notion that we are just not good with money. I was reading the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, a Stanford psychologist, which focuses on why many of us will never reach our goals or push through challenges to be the people we really want to be or to accomplish the things we really want to do. If Carol were our best friend, she would say our fixed mindsets are keeping us from being physically and fiscally fit. Folks with a fixed mindset believe their basic qualities like their talent, personality, traits, or intelligence are fixed and immutable. They believe natural talent or proclivity without effort creates success. If we were to cultivate a growth mindset, one in which we believe that our most basic abilities, for example, making mindful money and health decisions, can be developed through dedication and hard work, we would view the hiccups along the journey toward financial freedom and clean living as opportunities to learn instead of signs of failure. After reading the book, I realized that I definitely had a growth mindset when it came to eliminating $40,000 worth of student loans in less than 2 years. But I had a fixed mindset when thinking about my lackluster progress on my journey to better eating and living. So I started thinking about how I could apply the mental models and actionable strategies I use to eliminate my student loan debt toward improving my relationships with food, exercise, and nutrition. First, I decided that debt was not an option. I drew the proverbial line in the sand and made a decision that I was not going to carry debt. Once I committed to this philosophy, I viewed all obstacles as temporary. I can't say that I have made the same declaration for my diet and food lifestyle. Secondly, I viewed financial setbacks like the occasional splurge or poor use of my credit card with compassion and in the totality of my progress. Understanding that progress was not synonymous with perfection was key. It allowed me to brush off minor mistakes and stay focused on my goal of financial freedom. I have to apply the same attitude to ensure I don't throw my hands up in the air and retreat to inactivity each time I don't meet my high expectations. Thirdly, I had to get comfortable making sacrifices. Financial freedom required a trade-off. I could not say yes to a new dress or an invitation to every play or party I wanted to attend or trip I wanted to go on. Fourthly, I had to learn about money in order to respect it more. Part of developing a growth mindset is being open to learning more about the topic. When you learn more, you make better choices. I took the time to read personal finance books and beginner investing guides and to speak frugal folk. Basically, I immersed myself in a financially empowering environment. For my fitness and nutrition goals, I think my attitudes toward food choices and exercise will change as I increase my knowledge base. Money management and frugality can be taught and developed. Number 5. I have not always been financially savvy, but I kept going toward my goal of financial freedom, and now I consider myself pretty financially confident. Keeping this in mind is a necessity if I am going to expand my money management mindset. If you are looking to change how you approach your journey towards financial freedom, meditate on it. How would you rate your current mindset when it comes to finances, growth, or fixed? Is there any area of your life that you would like draw from and apply to changing your fixed mindset when it comes to your money management skills? The next Ebony article is actually an Ebony quote-unquote throwback titled Toni Morrison, Who Sounded Off Race, Writing and Regrets, Dies at 88. This article has a post shared by President Barack Obama. Time is no match for Toni Morrison. In her writing, she sometimes toyed with it, warping and ceasing it, bending it to her masterful will. In her life story, too, she treated time non-traditionally. A child of the Great Migration who lifted up new, more diverse voices in American literature as an editor, Toni didn't publish her first novel until she was 39 years old. From there followed an ascendant career, a Pulitzer, a Nobel, and so much more. And with it, a fusion of the African-American story within the American story. Toni Morrison was a national treasure. Her writing was not just beautiful, but meaningful. A challenge to our conscience and a call to greater empathy. She was a good storyteller, as captivating in person as she was on the page. And so, even as Michelle and I mourn her loss and send our warmest sympathies to her family and friends, we know that her stories, that our stories, will always be with us, and with those who come after, and on for all of time. Now that she's in her mid-80s, celebrated author Toni Morrison feels aches, pains, and regrets. She tells Fresh Air's Terry Gross, "When I'm not creating or focusing on something I can imagine or invent, I think I go back over my life. I don't recommend this, by the way." And you pick up, "Oh, what did you do that for? Why didn't you understand this?" Not just with children as a parent, but with other people. With friends, it's not profound regret. It's just a wiping up of tiny little messes that you didn't recognize as mess when they were going on. Morrison, the first African-American woman to win the Nobel Prize for Literature, says writing provides a big protection from her thoughts. Her latest novel, God Help the Child, follows an African-American woman who has no idea why she has given birth to such a dark-skinned baby. The mother named Sweetness is embarrassed by her daughter's darkness and wants to distance herself. The daughter, meanwhile, is scarred by not having her mother's love. Morrison says she wanted to separate color from race in her latest creation. Distinguishing color, light, black, in between, as the marker for race is really an era. It's socially constructed, it's culturally enforced, and it has some advantages for certain people, she says. But this is really skin privilege. The ranking of color in terms of closeness to white people or white-skinned people, and its devaluation according to how dark one is, and the impact that has on people who are dedicated to the privileges of certain levels of skin color. The next article, Simone Biles talks anxiety in being named 2018's most dominant athlete. Simone Biles has been a force to be reckoned with since winning three consecutive world all-around titles in 2015, becoming the first female gymnast to do so. She has since continued to leave her mark on the world of gymnastics even after revealing she was sexually abused by former sports doctor Larry Nassar. In an interview with Good Morning America's Robin Roberts, the athlete opened up about the anxiety caused by the deeply personal revelation, as well as her journey to being dubbed 2018's most dominant athlete by ESPN, the magazine. When it comes to keeping her mental health in order, Biles revealed that she takes anti-anxiety medication and speak with a counselor regularly. I'm on anxiety medicine now because I had lots of ups and downs throughout the year and trying to figure out what's wrong, Biles said Tuesday. I go to therapy pretty regularly. It's not easy, but the people surrounding me are some of the best, so it makes it a little easier. I felt a bit broken, and the more I try to shut off the voice in my head, the louder it screams, Biles wrote on Twitter in January with the hashtag #MeToo. I'm not afraid to tell my story anymore. Biles also shared her surprise at being honored as ESPN's cover star, saying, I didn't think it was real. I was like, you're joking. Last August, Biles swept all five titles at the 2018 National Championships at Boston's TD Garden. In October, she made history by becoming the first woman to win all four titles at the World Championship in Qatar. We have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Avery Lewis reading for North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as TRRS. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.